Last week we had a lesson on the need to remember. And we looked at several passages that indicated the need that, especially as we looked in the Psalms, as the psalmist brought up for the children of Israel, to remember the great works of God, to remember that He is your rock, your strength. And there were several different aspects that we looked at regarding the need to remember. And there are a host of places in the Old and New Testaments where the need to remember or reminders are brought up. But we talk particularly about the concept of the term Ebenezer from our hymn, O Thou Fount of Many Blessings. The idea of Ebenezer, this stone of remembrance, this recognition that God has done this for us, as was the case when Samuel raised up the literal stone of remembrance for the deliverance from the Philistines that he gave to Israel. And how that we need to raise our mental or spiritual Ebenezer every day, remembering what the Lord has done for us. I appreciate Philip leading these two hymns that he's led this morning so far. I know that my Redeemer lives. Well, how do I know that? Everything in the New Testament that teaches us, and for that matter, the prophecies of the Old Testament, that tells us that not only did Jesus come and die for us, but he was raised and ascended into heaven. I know that my Redeemer lives. Why? Because I'm reminded of it in the Scriptures. Count your many blessings. One of the great things about prayer, one of the great benefits that it has, in addition to all of the other aspects we could talk about, is it reminds us of just how much God has done for us. When we start breaking down in our prayers, either in the morning or at evening, we start thinking about the physical blessings God has given us, and then most especially and importantly, the spiritual blessings God has given us. When we start counting all those up, it reminds us of how much God has been with us. And goes back to Ebenezer, doesn't it? For thus far, God has been with us. And as our hymn points out, by thy good pleasure, I'll safely arrive at home. Philip and I were texting back and forth. I hope you're okay with me telling this, Philip. But I mentioned the fact of the value of spiritual reminders as being the point of our lesson. And he texted me back, well, the term reminders is spankings in my family. And I thought that was really funny. Yeah. Reminder would be spanking in a lot of families, I think. Reminding our children that this is what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do. But it's that kind of concept that is important for us to be reminded of. In separate from what we talked about last week, and as we mentioned kind of in passing, 2 Peter chapter 1, of our discussion last week, we talked about the fact that Peter, when he writes to the saints in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, starting in verse 12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Our bulletin article this morning is on what must I do to be saved? One of the most basic questions anyone can ask. And for those, especially those of us who are Christians and we have obeyed the gospel, I certainly hope we know the answer to that question. What must I do to be saved? But should we ever stop reminding ourselves, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those to whom we speak, of what those steps are, of what must a person do to be saved? It's not just something you learn and then never talk about, never think about, never discuss or study anymore after that. It's important to continually be reminded. In fact, one of the great sayings kind of come down through the generations is that the quickest way to change a congregation for the worse, for instance, the quickest way to change people from doing the truth to no longer doing the truth is don't preach on it. Don't preach on it. Just ignore this topic or that topic. Just don't preach on those things. And over a generation or two, they'll be raised, presumably as Christians, never having been taught this topic or that topic. And that's one of the way the devil gets into, whether it's teaching as a congregation or teaching as a family or teaching as an individual, is just don't study that. Just don't look at this. Don't be reminded of what God's word says. Peter says, I'm writing these things to remind you, even though you already know this stuff. He wasn't telling them anything they didn't already know. But he goes on to say in verse 13, notice how important this is. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body, this life, to stir you up by reminding you. So as long as Peter's alive, I'm going to continue to remind you. But then in verse 14, what does he say? Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, this life, my body, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Notice the terms that he uses here. I will be careful to ensure that you always. This is important. And the things that Peter has to say and has said to these brethren, they're important. And so, again, separate from our study from last week, I want to look a little bit deeper into 2 Peter chapter 1 and ask the question, what was so important to Peter that he had the need, he was compelled to remind the saints, not only once, but he says, I will continue to do it for as long as I'm alive, and then I will make sure that after my decease, there will continually be people to remind you of these things. What was so important? Well, let's go back up to verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Because we're going to stay here in 2 Peter this morning. And we want to look at what it is that Peter says that is so important to him, and for that matter, so important to the souls of these saints, that Peter needs to remind them of these things. Starting in verse 1, Peter says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 1, he says, you have obtained like precious faith. He says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These first four verses have so much to be unpacked here. But notice the three components that he mentions in these first four verses. He says, you have obtained a like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, including what, verse 4? Great and precious promises, that through those promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about not just having our sins washed away, which is a part of it, but the importance of having our sins washed away. Sin, having our sins washed away is not an end unto itself. It is a means to an end. That end is being holy at judgment, being righteous at judgment, being blameless at judgment. Well, I can't be blameless without the removal of my sins, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, Jesus' blood comes into the equation, gives me the means for salvation, so that ultimately at judgment, I can have a home in heaven waiting for me. That is that salvation that Peter's referring to about these great and precious promises. And then as he says in verse 3, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life, whether we're talking about physical life or spiritual life, doesn't matter. Both are true. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, godliness is that pious desire, that want, that need to please God. I want to do what God tells me because I want to please him. Well, God has given us everything we need to know on how to please him. He's given us everything we need to know for, yes, our physical life. There's that aspect of it. But ultimately, the spiritual life to achieve in heaven. That's, God's given us everything we need to have that. He's given us the teaching of his word. That's what Peter's describing. How has he given us all things that pertain to life and godliness? It didn't just end at Jesus. It was the teaching of Jesus, the teaching of the apostles about Jesus' resurrection that leads to the call that all men everywhere repent, Acts 17. Why should I repent? Because God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and repentance is a requirement of that. And then in verse 4, those exceedingly great and precious promises, through these you may be partakers. There's that hope one day, that assurance that we have, that peace of mind of knowing that as long as we serve God, as long as we trust and hope in Him, we have that peace of knowing a home waits for us. That assurance that is there. Through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. So the first thing he reminds the saints is, here are the blessings you have in Christ. As Paul would tell the Ephesians, that all these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, which are through Christ himself, Peter wants to remind the saints of the blessings that they have obtained in Christ. This is what you have. Carry that with you. Leading to the second thing he wants to remind the saints. Always grow. The moment you stop growing, the moment you become lackadaisical, the moment you become lazy spiritually, that's when we start to regress. Peter wants them to continue to grow, verse 5. He says, for this very reason. What very reason? Because you have exceedingly great and precious promises. You are looking forward to being partakers of that divine nature of getting to heaven. For that reason, of the purpose of getting to heaven, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. The very first thing that Peter says, giving all diligence. Well, diligence speaks to my desire. It speaks to enthusiasm. It speaks to my zeal, my earnest want, haste. Well, giving all diligence. That means having focus, having a determination, having the purpose of add to your faith. You are to have diligence, have the purpose in your mind of growing. And he mentions some of these characteristics in which they're to grow. Add to your faith virtue, that is moral excellence, that which God has defined as excellent, intrinsically good because God says it's good. Add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge in this particular context is the desire to know more. It's not just knowledge itself, the facts, but I continually want to learn more facts. It's investigation. It's the desire to study. One of the purposes for our Bible classes is to fulfill this very thing, to add to our faith knowledge, the desire to learn more. To our knowledge, we add self-control, the strength of will to put into practice that which is learned. Strength of will is one thing that seems to be lacking a lot in our society. Self-control is one thing that man has always lacked in abundance for a lot of the case. But self-control is absolutely vital for a Christian. Without self-control, we cannot please God. But the same is true of all of these. Without diligence, we can't please God. Without virtue, we can't please God. Without knowledge, we can't please God. But then we go on, he says, perseverance. Well, we can't please God without perseverance either. This term, it means to abide under. It means to endure the trials of life. That would include temptations, certainly. But this abiding under, this particular concept of perseverance, it only grows with use. This isn't something you're born with or something you just kind of gain by osmosis. This is something that you practice. By reason of use, it grows. Because I've endured this before, I can endure this now. And because I endured that before, well, I can endure this now. It grows and it is nurtured by what we are willing to faithfully endure. And then Peter mentions godliness. that spirit of piety that seeks to be well-pleasing to God. That is a key component. Without godliness, we can't be pleasing to God. Brotherly kindness, it's tender affection towards brethren. The recognition of familial relationship of brothers and sisters in Christ, not just acquaintances that we see once or twice a week. Brothers and sisters, family. And then lastly, love, agape love. This is self-sacrificial love that seeks the well-being of all. It is the love as a servant that Jesus had when he served, for instance, the apostles, when he washed their feet. He said, if I, your master, am willing to do this for you, then so you should be willing to do for one another. John brings this up in the context of giving of our own goods to help others, especially brethren. But he says, Jesus sacrificed himself for us, so we also should lay down our lives for the brethren. So taking that from a strong point, being willing to die for my brother, well, if you're willing to die, then how much really is it to give of your goods for a brother or a sister in need? That's love. So when Peter writes this, he says in verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the goal is. He writes all this for the goal of being neither barren nor unfruitful, which is to say, being barren and unfruitful is a bad thing. Not growing, not bearing fruit. That's what Jesus referred to with these fig trees that wouldn't bear fruit. They're good for nothing but cut down and thrown into the fire. If I'm not growing, if I'm not bearing fruit, I'm regressing. There is no kind of lukewarm area that is okay with God. Thus Laodicea in Revelation 3. Neither warm nor, or neither hot nor cold. You're just there. Jesus still condemned them. You make me sick. I literally vomit you out of my mouth. But when Peter says this, if these things are yours and abound, if these characteristics are being given proper attention, not one at a time. A lot of times people equate this to kind of a step-by-step process. Okay, well, I've taken care of my godliness. Now I need to take care of brotherly kindness. No, this is all at once. Because we can't do these separately. These are all together. But each one requires attention. If these things are yours and abound, you will be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be bearing fruit. And bearing fruit in the New Testament is associated with good works. You will be doing things that are good. Well, how are good works defined? They're defined by God. First of all, being an example to my brethren, being an example to my neighbor, being a servant to my brethren, being a servant to my neighbor, taking on the responsibilities that I'm called to take on, whether as a father or a husband or a mother or a wife. All of those components, I will be growing. I will be bearing forth that fruit. I will be showing Christ living in me. My light will be shining as a city set on a hill. Let your light so shine before men. Verse 9, though, Peter says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. What does the idea of short-sighted mean? We use the idea of short-sighted means you can only see close up. You're not able to see down the road. You're not able to see far ahead. You're not thinking about the consequences. Short-sighted. He who lacks these characteristics, he who isn't growing in these characteristics, in the knowledge of Christ, you're not thinking down the road. Not only are you not thinking down the road about judgment and about what it means to have these promises and what is going to happen, but you have forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Not only am I not thinking down the road, but I'm not thinking about what was behind me either. I'm kind of in the moment. I'm kind of living to the whims of my own desires. I'm not thinking ahead, and I'm not remembering what my motivation was to start with. that I was cleansed from my old sins. Therefore, what should I be doing? I should be growing and not stopping. No matter how old we become, how many years on this earth we have, no matter how many years we've been a Christian, we never, ever stop growing. Does that mean we learn in the sense of new things? Not necessarily. Peter says, you know these things already. But you're constantly reminding yourself, you're training yourself better and better each day to be the servant of God and servant to others you're supposed to be. That's not something that people are born with. It's something you have to train yourself to do. And then when we come by trials, things that test our patience, things that test our control of our tongues or our thoughts, that's from those moments we have to remind ourselves of what we're supposed to be doing, of what our goal is. Because it's in those moments it's truly tested whether or not we're putting into practice this growth. Finally, notice with me what Peter goes on to say in verse 16. Going forward to verse 16, after he has said, I'm going to be careful to make sure you always have a reminder of these things, what does he go on to say? For, verse 16. Anytime you see this term for, gar, in the Greek, it's a connection from the previous thought. Verse 16 is connected to what he says in verses 12 through 15. I want to make sure you are always reminded of these things. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was there, remember? Peter, James, and John. They were there at the Mount of Transfiguration. They heard the voice from heaven speak. Verse 18, we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have, verse 19, the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or of any private origin. For prophecy, verse 21, never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter says, for we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. I'm reminding you of these things because this didn't come from man. Who'd it come from? It came from Jesus himself. It came from the Father. It came because we were eyewitnesses of what happened. That Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus' glory was shown and the voice from heaven confirmed that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. This is why Peter says we have the prophetic word confirmed. What did he want to remind them? What was it he wanted to connect to this remembrance? You need to have faith in what has been taught. The things that I'm teaching you will include things that John teaches you, that Paul teaches you. These are eyewitnesses to these events. Individuals who were there. Individuals who saw Jesus raised in Paul's case. As a result, listen, heed these words. That's why he says in verse 19, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. And he describes this rising of understanding until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That is the word of God that brings about belief. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And ultimately obedience, because it pricks the heart of individuals who hear it. This is why Peter wanted to remind the saints that he was eyewitnesses. He can verify Christ's identity and that the Father himself verified Christ's identity. Even the words of prophecy of the Old Testament confirm that Jesus Christ was the one who was sent to die for our sins. And he is the one who continues to reign until all enemies are put under his feet. Last enemy being death. All this to say, The term reminder, as we noted last week, is to cause to remember, to bring back to awareness. What did Peter want to remind the saints? Remember the blessings you have in Christ. Remember to always be growing. Remember to have confidence in what you've been taught. And as he enters towards the end of his letter of 2 Peter, he says, remember the words of the prophets and apostles because they are the words of God. Verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of us, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That you will be mindful of the things that have been written by people inspired of God. The words of the Lord, ultimately. That you will remember. Not just, I read it once and now I'm done. Not just, I studied it once and so I'm good and I won't ever study it again. I don't need to. You know, I know for a lot of us, you know, as you age, your memory starts to kind of go on you. You forget this, you forget that. I sometimes feel like I'm 100 years old. You forget things and things just slip out of your mind. Sometimes you forget. Things you've studied for years, sometimes you forget exactly where they are, what passage, what book, what chapter. You can never, ever stop studying. Never stop growing. This is why Peter says in the few verses we skipped of 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. What is diligence? That earnest desire, that paying attention, that purpose and determination. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is chapter 1 all about? Ultimately, what is the letter all about? Looking ahead to heaven. How can I make sure I get there? Peter answers that. That's what this first chapter is all about. How do I make sure I get to heaven? You remember the blessings that you have in Christ. Always be growing. Have confidence in what you've been taught. Be mindful of the words of the Lord. And if you do these things, if you remember these things, you'll never stumble. And as a result, because of your faith and because of your obedience, because of your attention to God's word, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. Do you want an entrance to the kingdom of the Lord today? You can have an entrance. An entrance has been supplied to you. This is what Peter's whole point was about what Jesus did for us. That through Jesus, we have hope. Well, you can take advantage of that opportunity by being baptized this morning, having your sins washed away, and being added to that kingdom. Waiting for that day when Christ returns and will redeem all the saved. Take them to heaven. For those of us who are Christians, none of this stuff you heard today is new. All of this is old news. Our bulletin article, What Must I Do to Be Saved? That's old news. Our songs, Count Your Many Blessings, old news. I Know That My Redeemer Liveth, yeah, old news. All of this, we've heard before. Does that make it any less important? No, it makes it more important. Why? Because we're told to constantly be reminded. Constantly remind yourself, constantly grow, continually, over and over, in the knowledge of God's word. Nothing should ever get old to us. Nothing should ever bring about the emotion or the thought, oh, we're talking about this again, talking about baptism again. Talking about first principles again? Talking about authority again? We should look forward to the reminders. If you need help this morning, if there's anything we can do for you, if your soul state before God, come forward as we stand and sing.